Well, let's get our bearings here. We're trying to find true north in our lives. And on the front of your bulletin, I've got listed Jeremiah 29:11, which is really the focus and the impetus for what we are about the business of these days. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. Are you hearing this? These are words for you. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. What that says is that God has a plan for your life. And wants you and me to live that out. And so the series goal that we are in the midst of is this: get with God's plan while we still can. We have the rest of our lives ahead of us, and we have the opportunity to embrace the plan that God has for us to a greater degree, perhaps, than we have in the past. What God wants to say is, don't waste your life. Order your life in such a way that you develop a fulfilled life. You embrace the fulfilled life that God has in mind for you. Jesus says, I have given you life, and a life in all its fullness. God wants us to experience a full and rich life. He has a plan for you as a wife, as a husband, as a son, as a daughter, as an employee, as a boss, as God's child, a member of the family of faith. God has a plan for us in each one of those areas of our lives. I haven't said it, but this series is really about becoming a more fully devoted follower of Jesus. In specificity. In each one of the areas of our lives that matter. And we've seen the principles, the true north principles emerge through the weeks, and let's do a little review. The first principle is that God has made you responsible. He's made you able to respond to the situations in life that are placed before you. You are not a victim. God has made you responsible to be able to choose those things, those principles, those values, the direction in life that will lead to fulfillment. Principle number one. Principle number two is the vision of your life determines the value of your life. What kind of a vision do you have in your marriage, in your home, with your children, in your workplace, in your church? What kind of a vision do you have? Because, quite frankly, the vision that you have determines the value of your life. Principle number three says that God has given you just enough time to do what He wants you to do. We are so prone to say, I don't have enough time to fill in the blank. I don't have enough time to spend with my children, to spend with my spouse. I don't have enough time to be engaged in Bible study. I don't have enough time to be in devotion to the Lord every day. I don't have enough time to do this, to do that, to do. God has given you just enough time to do what He wants you to do. And if you find yourself not having enough time, then either you're doing things that God doesn't want you to do, or you're doing the things that He wants you to do very poorly and need to improve. And then the principle that we saw last week is principle number four, that you make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. It's developing an other attitude in every sphere of your life that opens the door for fulfillment. Now let's move to principle number five right off the bat, and that is this, that the soul of life is found in relationships. The soul, the very essence of life, is found in relationships. The central core of life is relationship. There is no fulfillment of life as God has designed it without relationships. They are the only thing that we are going to take to heaven with us. Do you know that? You aren't going to take your car, your house, your boat, your lake place, your clothes, your computers, your DVD players, your iPods, your golf clubs, your trophies, your gold watches from work. You aren't going to take any of that with you. The only thing you're going to take with you is people. In fact, you're sitting in this church today because of relationships. Could be that you wandered in here and you were looking for one of two things. You were looking for Can I foster a relationship with God in this place? And can I foster a relationship with other people in this place? Some of you are sitting here because of a relationship. Somebody has dragged you here because they love you. Relationships are at the core of life. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to build great relationships. Since relationships are the soul of life, they're the essence of life, the core of life, then how do we develop? What are some elements that God says are necessary for building great relationships so that it opens the door for finding true north with relationships, with fulfillment? And I want to deal with the key, the secret, the formula, the clue, the means, the recipe, the blueprint for building great relationships. The soul of life is found by listening. Why is listening so darned important? Think about it. Because it satisfies a deep need that each of us have. A need to be appreciated, a need to receive attention, and we all want attention. When you listen to somebody, it shows that you care about them. You do know that, right? It shows that you want to understand them, that you think that they're important enough to bother to listen. And when you don't listen, it shows that you really don't care. For instance, dating is all about listening. You know, when you know, couples are, they call it hooking up today. When they're hooking up, it's all about listening. And then after you get married, then all of a sudden you need a hearing aid. You know, one husband said, my wife says I don't listen. Or at least that's what I thought she said. You can make more friends, you can increase your relationship sevenfold in 2 months by becoming more interested in other people and listening to them than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. How to listen in a way that is effective. That's what we're going to look at today. Here's the nugget that you want to burn into your spirit. In fact, I want to teach you the three-step dance of relationships that, for all I know, I am the originator. I've never heard this anywhere else, but it is the three-step dance of relationships, and Chris talked about it a little bit before when he talked about James 1:19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It's called quick, slow, slow. It's quick, slow, slow. It's quick, slow, slow. Now you're going to remember that the rest of your life. It's quick, slow, slow. That's what we'll remember. And I'm sorry for that. Quick, slow, slow. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. I want you to walk out of here with that firmly planted in your memory, because it is the essence of building strong relationships. Quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. If you dance that through your life every day, life will be more enriching for you. Quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. Let's examine it a moment. James says that we should be quick to listen. Number one, that we should be quick to listen. Now, there's some real wisdom here, and think about the way that God created you. He created you with one mouth and two ears. Do you think that they should be used in that proportion? Perhaps that's an indication of how much talking and how much listening we should do as we walk through life. Now, God is a model for us here, because one of the fabulous characteristics of God is that he listens to us. He invites us to pray to him, which means that he listens to us. And one of the fabulous characteristics of God is that he's available at all times to hear our prayers, to listen to our concerns, to even be touched by our nonverbal communication of our feelings. Romans 8 says that. God does not keep office hours. He doesn't require appointments. He hears us. Psalm 66 says, "For I cried to him for help, and he listened. He heard my prayer. He paid attention to it." What we see with God, we need to put into play. First of all, we need to listen with our hearts. Empathy is the word that is used all the time in a compassionate response to other folks, that we need to employ empathy, which means we need to listen with our hearts. Empathy is to understand so intimately, not just the words, but the feelings, the thoughts, the motives of another. That's when you are empathizing with them. And Jesus was a master at this. He traveled the same roads. He traveled the same village streets as his contemporaries. And yet, he heard and saw needs that no one else seemed to notice. Jesus saw beyond the surface into the hearts and lives of people. His authentic love for people motivated him to not only listen to their words, but to listen to their needs. A perfect example of this is in John chapter 4 when he comes into contact with a woman from Samaria. And he talks to her and he listens to her, and she wants to engage him in a theological discussion, and yet he saw beyond her words into her life, into her heart. And said, "Lady, the problem with you is that you have bad relationships. You've been married 5 times, and the guy that you're living with now is not your husband." He was looking beneath all the words, and he was listening for the hurt. You see, Jesus shows us that you listen for the hurt by listening with your heart. Listen with your heart. Is that what you do? I mean, take some inventory now. As you talk with your family, and as you listen to your spouse, your kids, your parents, do you listen with your heart? Do you listen to your friends with your heart? Jesus went about and he wanted to heal every disease. And Matthew 9 tells us that he felt great pity. Interesting phrase. He felt great pity for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. It said that Jesus was moved in his heart. The essence of love is listening with your heart. And we're to love with that same listening heart as Jesus does. But it's not only listen with your heart, it's also being quick to listen with desire. To have a desire to listen. Proverbs 18 says, "If a person gives an answer before he hears, it's to his folly and his shame." And that's what too many of us do, is we answer without listening. Listening is wanting to hear. We have a problem in this area, and the problem is innate with us because, you know what? The average mind, it's been stated by scientists, the average mind can listen to about 650 words per minute. That's what you're able to assimilate, is 650 words per minute. The average person speaks 150 words per minute. So that, you know what? That leaves a 500 word per minute gap. So as I'm talking here, you're listening to the baby, and you're thinking of what you're going to have for lunch, because I'm not able to talk fast enough to keep you interested. You have to really focus in on listening to me. And the same is true when we listen to anybody, is that our minds are going faster than their mouths are. And so we have to listen with desire. Heard about a Bible salesman. The number one door-to-door Bible salesman in the world. And they were having a convention of all the Bible salesmen and they were honoring him and giving him an award. And, of course, they wanted to know, "What is your secret?" And he said, I stutter. God gave me the gift of stuttering. He said, "Well, what do you mean? How is that helping you sell Bibles?" And he said, "I just walk up to the door and say, would you like to buy a Bible, or do you want me to read it to you?"
I'll buy a Bible. I'll buy a Bible.
Be quick to listen with desire. How about be quick to listen with healing love? You know, there are professional listeners in our culture who are making big bucks off this principle. They're called counselors. And what they do is they listen with a posture of healing. There have been studies done that say that, you know, if a person has a good friend who will listen to them, that they are as likely, if not more, to have their problems go away than if they saw a counselor. There is a healing aspect to listening that is present and available to us as we interact with other people. Proverbs 20 says, though good advice lies deep within a counselor's heart, the wise man will draw it out. And God knows the truth of that because he says in James chapter 5, therefore confess your sins to one another, pray for one another. He's got this one another thing that he keeps pushing, that you may be healed. That there is healing that goes through in sharing with one another, listening to one another. There is a healing aspect to that. Be quick to listen, God's word says. The first pillar in successful communication, successful relationships. The second, quick, slow, slow, quick, slow, slow, quick, slow, slow. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. The second aspect of what God's word says to it. Be slow to speak. The Bible has a lot of instruction on this. James becomes involved in deeply practical teaching regarding the tongue in James chapter 3. In fact, he contends that if anyone does not stumble in what he says, then he's a perfect man. The tongue is an issue in relationships, and we all know that. Proverbs 15 says, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. A timely word. God is the authentic source of any person being able to control the tongue. And we need God's empowering spirit to be able to enable us to have a timely word that is given as a response to being quick to listen. Now, how do you engage that? How does God work that in our lives where we can give a timely word and we're slow to speak? There's a couple ways. The first is that it changes our focus. We need to change our focus. When we are listening, then guess what? We are becoming less self-centered. It trails on what we were talking about last week, and that is that we need to employ an other attitude, where we focus on others. Proverbs 18 says, answering before listening is both stupid and rude. Anybody knows what I've noticed throughout the years, and that is that with some people, when you stop asking questions with them, the conversation is over. When you stop asking questions about their life, their interests, their opinions, it's over. Because they're not about to ask you anything about yourself. I find that it is absolutely simple to carry on a conversation with a stranger because all you got to do is ask them questions about themselves. We seem to have this penchant for wanting to talk about ourselves. And so it's very easy to talk with somebody that I don't know. I just merely ask them about themselves, their family, their job, their interests, and so on and so forth, and the conversation is wonderful. Because we have this natural proclivity towards being self-centered. Let me ask you a question that might gauge that. When you walk into a room full of people, what goes through your mind first? Do you walk into that room saying, I wonder who's going to talk to me? Or do you walk into that room saying, I wonder who I can talk to? The first is that which is self-centered. The other is has an other attitude to say, who can I talk to? Who seems like they are talking to no one and need someone to talk to? Who in the room needs me? And I'm going to go to them. It's not natural for us. God needs to work that in us. Paul and Jesus both said that we should care for others as ourselves. That means loving others as we do ourselves. You aren't going to be able to listen to anyone if you haven't relinquished the floor to them, if you haven't relinquished your interest to them. Change your focus. And the other that will help in building relationship is to change your goal. The goal in communication is not to go to the mat on agreement. The goal of listening is to understand and not to agree. If we could employ these principles into our marriages, life would be a lot better. The goal of listening is not to agree, it is to understand. Where are you coming from? What are you feeling? What are you afraid of? Rather than, you need to agree with me and I'm going to, you know, conversation is not a conversation. It's a speech to persuade. And if we don't agree, then we're going to be at odds with one another. We need to change our goal, and that goal is to listen with our heart and to understand. Be understanding. Quick, slow, slow. Be quick to speak. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. And then lastly, what the Word of God says is that we need to be slow to anger. Not only should we be slow to speak, but we should be slow to anger. The Greek word for anger is orge, which means to be angry, indignation, vengeance, wrath, all of which are relationship killers. The last time I looked, all of those are relationship killers. That's why the Bible says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Every form of orge, get rid of that. Behavioral scientists tell us that the cause of wrath and anger usually comes as a result of frustration, and that most frustration is really caused by simply not getting our own way. No wonder we should become slow to anger. And so what we need to do is to develop some staying power. What I'm calling some staying power. And the first is that we need to stay free of criticism and judgment. When a person talks to us, we need to hold off jumping to conclusions until we have enough information. Proverbs says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Oftentimes, we make assumptions that are often wrong, and it fuels criticism and judgment. We are so free to criticize others and to judge others. That's to become slow to anger when we don't do that. Here are some assumptions that I think we put into play rather commonly. We assume that words have the same meaning to everybody. Two people may be using the same word in a different way. We need to listen and to understand. Here's another assumption, is that there's only one way to see things. And all you got to do is talk to a couple that is in crisis and get the husband in one room and the wife in another, have him describe what's going on in the marriage, then have her describe what's going on in the marriage, and you'll find that it doesn't sound like it's the same marriage. Somehow, there's a different story coming from both the husband and the wife. Why is that? Because we do not always see things the same way. Here's another assumption that is a killer, is that everyone thinks like I do. Nobody thinks like I do. Here's another assumption, is that I can figure out other people's motives. Not only am I going to hear what they say or what they think or what they feel, I'm going to figure out their motives. Why are they seeing? We realize that we look at the outward appearance, God looks on the inside. And we set ourselves up for misunderstanding when we try and assume what the other person's motives are. So we need to stay free of criticism and judgment. That helps us to be slow to anger. But also we need to stay calm. When we're being attacked or misunderstood, We have a tendency to overact, to give long explanations. The Bible says in Romans 12, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, keep your head. Don't let things escalate. Quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. In fact, next time you're in, you know, a conflictual situation, just start dancing, quick, slow, slow, you know, and it'll freak the other person out, and it'll add a little bit of comedy to what's going on. I'm not giving that as advice. So the question is, how do I achieve quick, slow, slow? Really comes with three things, and that is time, priority, and God. It really, you don't develop quick, slow, slow. You can't be quick to listen without giving some time to that. And you're not going to engage in quick, slow, slow, the three-step of relationships if it's not a priority for you. And lastly, quite frankly, we're not able to install quick, slow, slow by our own ability. We need God to do that. We need him to work a work in us that enables me to shut my mouth and to listen with my heart, with desire, with healing love. That's something that goes beyond my ability, and God needs to work that in me. He needs to work in me the ability to be slow to speak and slow to become angry. I need God to give me eyes to be able to see you for who you really are, rather than just the outward appearance and what I assume you are. I need God. The soul of life is found in relationships. Isn't that true? But how about this? The soul of life is found in relationships, and the most important relationship to attend to can be revealed in this question that I've got on your sermon note page. Are you hearing God? Are you listening to God? Dietrich Bonhoeffer made an interesting connection. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a martyr during World War II, died in a German prison because he would not shut up about Jesus. He said, he who no longer listens to his brother will so soon no longer be listening to God. It's not listening to other people. It trails into not listening to God. Some of you need to hear God calling your name because he wants to begin a relationship with you. He's calling your name because you have placed yourself far from him, and he wants to establish a relationship with you. That's a fact. Jesus said this in John 5. He says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life, to fulfillment. Some people have a hearing loss when it comes to hearing the voice of God in your life. Revelation 3 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. God created you. God loves you. He loved you enough to empty himself into the form of a human being and to die on a cross for the punishment that should have been yours. He has a plan for your future, but it's a gift. This is a gift. And gifts aren't forced on folks. Gifts are there ready to be received and opened and used. Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice and do not harden your hearts, you'll respond to him. Are you hearing God? Will you respond? And what about those of us who maybe have walked with Christ for a number of years? Are we hearing God? I was moved this week by Jeremiah 33, verse 3, that says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. But the question is, are we hearing? Are we listening? You have to show up to hear. Do you know that? You have to be in proximity to listen to somebody else. You have to be in proximity to listen to God. You have to be in the proximity of worship in this setting. You have to be in proximity of having quiet time, opening the Word of God, listening to Him. You have to show up, or you can't hear. God speaks through His Word. And here's a depressing fact, is that we forget 90 to 95% of everything that we hear within 72 hours. Now, that's depressing for somebody like me. You're going to forget what I say by Wednesday. That's why I give you sermon notes every week in hopes that maybe it'll last till Thursday, so you can review and renew. When we spend 5, 10, 15 minutes a day in quiet time and write stuff down and attend to that each and every day, then it's planted. We're listening. Are we listening to God, or are we too busy talking to God? Jesus says, His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Are you intimately acquainted with Jesus that you know His voice and you listen to it and you allow Him to come into your life and shape you and form you so that we can institute quick, slow, slow in our relationships? So let's take a step like we have every week. Is there something during the last half hour that God struck with you? It's an attitude that you need to adopt, or a sin that you need to confess, or an example that you need to follow, or a promise to embrace. Do not allow this time that God has had your attention to be fruitless, but to jot down what God has impressed upon your heart, and then to leave here ready to fully institute that into your life. Take a step. Let's pray together. Father, I'm praying for us today that we might order our lives around relationships, that we might attend to building great relationships by increasing our ability to listen with our hearts, to listen with desire, to listen with healing love, and that, Lord, we might be able to be slow to speak and slow to become angry. Lord, instill in us a reorientation to life that places people above ambition, possessions, position. And Lord, most of all, as we talk about building great relationships, may we build a great relationship with You. And I pray, Lord, for those who need to take a step and respond to Your voice of invitation for the first time. And if that's you, I would invite you to repeat after me that, Lord, I realize that I've resisted You, that I am a sinner, and I know You died to pay for my sin. I accept Your gift. I hear You knocking at the door of my heart. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I receive You now. I receive You as the Lord, the leader, the owner, the director of my life. And for the rest of us, Lord, I would pray that we would take a giant stride in listening to You with our heart, with desire, that we would give You the time of day, the time in our day, day in and day out, so we can recognize Your voice more clearly and follow You. We want to know You more, Lord, more and more and more and more. So change our hearts, O God. Make them ever true. Change our hearts, O God. May we be like You. All in the name of Jesus. Amen.